My friend, always good speaking with you, especially for something like this. You know, it's kind of funny. Before I read this book, because I've known you for such a long time, I've always thought that you personally have had this wild fascination about basically Canada's biggest hip-hop star, Drake. Is that true statement for me to make?
I would say yes. I mean, as a longtime hip-hop journalist, I've been documenting the Canadian music scene, you know, rap music in particular, way before it became cool to do so, mm-hmm. right? So Drake is kind of like the culmination of all of these last 15 years of me sort of interviewing Kanan and Cardinal Official and working with Chaos, et cetera, et cetera. He's the culmination of all of that 15 years of blood, sweat, and tears, and now he's somebody from Toronto has finally made it.
What do you think it is, your fascination, but just fascination in general, people, about Drake? Because even though he's so much out in the public, there's still really a lot we don't know. I mean, we hear things, but that's all hearsay.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Far From Over essentially aims to answer one simple question, right? And it's, how does a biracial black Jewish kid from an upscale Toronto neighborhood, you know, come to so thoroughly dominate a music form that essentially kind of comes from the streets, right? Toronto is an interesting city in that the rap scene traditionally tends to get very little support, you know, from anything from record labels to video networks, sometimes even commercial radio, booking agents, all of the above, you know? And this guy here now, what he's done, it's unfathomable, you know? And people have really been scratching their heads over, you know, how he was able to make it. I think what I tried to do with the book is I tried to sort of talk about a lot of the background cultural conditions that kind of helped create the Drake phenomenon. Right.
And for what did you discover? Because this isn't Drake coming to you and sitting down and saying, okay, I'm going to tell you my story.
Yes, totally. Well, what I discovered is a lot of things. I mean, what I do is I essentially unearth his back catalog. Drake didn't sort of arrive in a vacuum. He has a really deep, rich history where it comes to Canadian music. And so what I was able to do is I was able to dissect a lot of his early mixtapes. He had worked with some very talented local area producers and musicians from places like Scarborough and Brampton. And a lot of these people that are sort of, it's a lot of untold stories as to how he got onto BET, how he started getting that buzz in the U.S. and getting on rotations on BET, Black Entertainment Television. There are there's a whole slew of wildly interesting characters from Toronto that tend to get forgotten about whenever artists like Drake rise to astronomical fame. So that's what this story is really all about.
Okay, but here's the thing. There have been other artists from Toronto,
yes,
who have done the exact same thing, okay? Mm-hmm. And in fact, to me, what should even take away from is, if you want to use the term street cred, is the fact he was on Degrassi. I mean, come on, give me a break.
Yes.
But the thing was, though, and you do this so well, and I want you to talk about this, is the guy just wasn't talked about as, you know, oh, here's something new, here's something hot. They literally looked at him as the next artist to walk on water, the next one, you know, bow down, Michael Jackson. Here comes the next big, incredible thing. I mean, I still remember the talk about his first album. You thought that, you know, the heavens was going to open up, Armageddon was going to end, you know, world peace was going to happen. We're going to find aliens in space who are going to come and bring everybody together. I mean, it was literally the talk of the biggest thing man would ever see. That's how big they were talking about it.
Yeah, totally. Well, Drake's narrative, it's one of the most unusual stories, I think, in music in general, never mind hip-hop music in Canada. I mean, you know, because I actually grew up nearby the neighborhood where he grew up, you know, in Forest Hill, which is, you know, one of the wealthiest neighborhoods in Toronto. All of these things, all these stars needed to align for him to be where he's at. I mean, look at somebody like Prince, you know, the artist formerly known as Prince is like one of my musical idols alongside Michael Jackson, of course. And, you know, like his uncle, Drake's uncle, Larry Graham Jr., he mentors Prince, you know what I mean? Like, I mean, so this guy has this whole lineage thing happening, and then he comes up from this, you know, he was raised in this neighborhood that doesn't traditionally produce any rappers. I mean, it's just an amazing story that needed to be told, you know?
What surprised you the most?
What surprised me the most? Let me think about this. Yeah, so many things. Boy, okay. Oh, yes, okay, I got a good one for you. What surprised me the most about Drake's rise is it's his audience and listenership, or his consumers, in that he's one of the few rappers I write about a chapter about, you know, this idea of a Jewish rapper, you know, like that's blowing up the scene. Because traditionally people think about rap, they think about, you know, African-American, African-Canadian, Latin-American, but he's a kid who's proudly Jewish. And so there are all of these tons of Jewish kids, teens, 20-somethings, 30-somethings, that are rallying around Drake. So he has a video out, you know, HYFR, and you see he shot it in a shul, which is a Jewish religious house of worship, and that's kind of part of his narrative too, you know? So I had to talk about a bit about the history of Jews in hip-hop, because there aren't just a lot of Jewish rappers, young Jewish rappers, doing it this big or proudly proclaiming their Jewishness like he is.
Here's, for me, the most interesting question. Has he backed up the hype?
Okay, right. As far as music, you mean just in general? Or
in general, and because, like I keep saying, Drake, his image has been, you know, solidified as bigger than life itself.
Right, yeah. I think, well, this is the interesting thing. I mean, I called the book Far From Over. That was very intentional. I still think he has a long ways to go as far as, you know, some of the decisions, creative decisions he's making, and that comes with age, maturity, wisdom, and experience, right? So he's only recorded, really, 2 full-length official CDs. So I think before we you know, elevate him to this kind of, you know, Prince-like or MJ-like level, as some reporters have been doing, I think, you know, maybe after his, you know, fifth record or something, we can really start to dissect and fully analyze, you know, what is his full contribution to Canadian music in general, music in general, you know?
Yeah, well, again, no insult to Drake whatsoever, because I'm always happy to see
Canadian artists do well, and the fact that Drake has put himself right up there, and of course, you know, you can look at the Biebers and other artists who have really helped solidify what Canadian music really is all about. What I'm happy about is it just seems like his career has sort of landed. And when I say landed, it's because everybody had all this stuff about him, but now we've gotten a little bit of reality, and I think finally feet back on the ground here, and it's like, okay, he's a great artist. Let's see now what he can do.
Yes, precisely. And, you know, it was important in the book. I talked a lot about, you know, how his own country has received him, right? Because, you know, I talked about, you know, Juno Awards, him getting nominated and some feeling he got snubbed. 1 year he got shut out, you know, and this was all at a time when he was the biggest thing since sliced bread in the U.S. You know, like I was hanging out in New York with my brother one time, you know, for work, and there wasn't a moment where we didn't hear something about Drizzy. You know, we go to a sneaker shop, people are talking about Drizzy. You turn on commercial radio, they're playing Drizzy remixes, you know. But back home now, is it one of those cases where we don't even really recognize a prophet in your own backyard, you know, that saying? So he has a very complicated and interesting relationship with his own city. You know, he has a 416 tattoo on his body, but then there's some aspects, arguably, of the Canadian music establishment that maybe don't quite respect him as they would, let's say, you know, a pop or rock artist. So it's a lot of interesting dialogue and discourse around Drake's career and narrative, you know?
Yeah, well, you know what? Quote unquote, you had Rihanna, so enough said.
Exactly. Totally.
Enough said. The book is out right now?
Yeah, so the book is available in all bookstores, including Chapters Indigo and all of your independent favorite mom and pop bookstores.
There you go. Great Christmas gift, my friend. Website, where can we go if we want more info?
Yeah, website. I don't know, Rudy. Should I give the EC? I mean, because it's on Amazon.com.
Sure.
Pretty much, yeah. Should I just say it's available on Amazon.com?
Yeah.
Can I also give my Twitter handle or not really?
I was going to ask you all that, and I'm leaving everything that we just talked about in this interview. So where can we pick up the book and your Twitter, too?
Yeah, for sure. The book also, too, or I'll say it, you know, yeah, the book can also be found digitally and otherwise, right? So Amazon.com, Amazon.ca, and my Twitter, hit me up on Twitter at DaltonHiggins5, right? DaltonHiggins5. I'm tweeting constantly about Drake, his career, his rise to fame, and the future of Drake.